Welcome to Kingdom Conversations. I'm Randy Turpin, your host for this podcast, where we discuss themes pertaining to the Kingdom of Heaven. Today, we're going to a recording of a phone conversation I had with my friend, Pastor Steve Gardner. Our Kingdom Conversation today is about raising the dead.
I have here with me today my guest, Pastor Steve Gardner, who pastors Christ the Rock Church of God in Knoxville, Tennessee. Been a good friend of mine for a number of years. Welcome, Steve. Glad you could join me here tonight.
Hello, Dr. Turpin. It is an honor to be with you and with your students, and I look forward to our evening conversation.
I do appreciate you taking the time for this. The topic we're dealing with here tonight is in some ways a little unsettling. You know, my life, my adult life, I've given much attention to topics related to spirit-empowered ministry, the supernatural, and all of that. But this topic of raising the dead, which we're addressing tonight, maybe you can help to demystify it a little bit for us here. But I'm just going to read a passage here first that I'm kind of launching off of. In Matthew chapter 10, verses 7 and 8, Jesus said, "As you go, preach, saying, 'The kingdom of heaven is at hand.' Heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, and cast out demons. Freely you've received, freely give." Now, a lot of us, we're accustomed with healing the sick. You know, some of us with casting out demons, not many of us have had the occasion for cleansing the lepers, though some would make the case that that's actually, in our day, a picture of creative miracles. Raising the dead is something that's probably less familiar than any of these other aspects of this kind of ministry, but the reason I'm talking with you tonight is because you've actually been the witness, the instrument of God used on more than one occasion for the actual reviving and raising of the dead.
Yes.
And I want you to share something about that with us tonight.
Amen. Well, first, let me say that many people within the body of Christ are very, very open to the freely you have received, freely give, to the preaching of the good news, the aspect of salvation. And some struggle with the very topic that we're talking tonight. And even within the charismatic Pentecostal circles, there are some who are comfortable with praying for people who are sick and expecting to see them healed. But this oftentimes in their mind, you know, we have a tendency as human beings to categorize things, even in the kingdom of God. We think of the raising of the dead as something really way out there. It's something so advanced that most of us can't do it, can't be a part of it. We can pray for healing. I mean, if you've got a cold, certainly we can believe God for that. But somehow we put the raising of the dead in a different category, and it is not. This all fits together into demonstrating the kingdom of God. And as you well know, Dr. Turpin, the Lord taught us in Matthew 6 to pray, and he said, when you pray, pray like this: "Our Father who is in heaven, holy is your name." Now here's the key: your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And then the Lord, in Peter's confession of Christ as the rock, and gives the church what I refer to as legislative authority, the ability to go into this world and on behalf of his kingdom, as kingdom representatives, legislate his authority in this earth. And we are called upon to demonstrate the kingdom of God. That includes, obviously, the preaching of salvation, but that is only part of the good news, part of the gospel message. We're also called to demonstrate the kingdom of God in signs and wonders, in miracles and healings and prophetic pronunciations and in raising the dead. You read one of the scriptures. I have an article actually on my blog, reclamationministries.com, simply entitled Demonstrating the Kingdom of God, and it talks about some of that on there, what we're talking about, and gives several scriptures where we are commanded by the Lord to cast out demons, to heal the sick, and to raise the dead as part of our preaching of the gospel. And so to demystify some of this, we have to begin thinking of signs and wonders, miracles, healings, the prophetic, raising of the dead as one category, as one thing that we are embracing, and that is demonstrating and proclaiming the kingdom of God. And when these signs and wonders, miracles, healings, and raising of the dead occur, a couple of things are happening. Number one, people are experiencing the love of the Father. And secondly, it is endorsing and verifying the validity in the message of Jesus Christ. It is demonstrating. It's almost like we are saying as his representatives, I'm telling you the truth. God loves you. Jesus died for you. He will change your life. He will save you. He will turn you around. Now let me prove it to you. And we heal the sick, or we cast out demons, or in some cases we even see the dead being raised. But it's all in the same category. It's all demonstrations of the kingdom of God.
Well, you are helping to demystify this here for yeah. some tonight, because I think we do often put this area of the miraculous, not the supernatural, in a class so far beyond what most of us can reach. We think in those terms.
Right.
Now, you've had, actually, this is not just theory to you. In your own ministry, you have seen the dead raised, and I don't know if you're ready yet to share that, but could you share some of this with us?
Sure, we can do that. And a couple of these instances have actually been published in our denominational magazine, The Church of God, The Evangel. And the first one, and what is so interesting about, I'm going to share three cases with you throughout the course of our talks, but what's so interesting is the first one and the second one, it wasn't really on my radar. It wasn't something like preemptively the Lord spoke to me and said, I'm going to use you to raise the dead. And it just came about as a will of the Lord and an expression of his kingdom. And the first one actually happened in the late 90s. I was pastoring a church, in a suburb of Milwaukee, Wisconsin, called Menominee Falls. And it was this time of year. It was Christmas time. And as any good church and church pastor, we were having an adult Christmas party. And we had just got done having ham and potatoes and all sorts of good food and singing Christmas carols and playing games and having door prizes. And it had begun to rain, freezing rain. And somebody had said, hey, it's beginning to freeze rain outside. Maybe we ought to call it a night. So they did. And me and one of the other pastors left and went back to my office, and we're in my office. And some people were standing in the parking lot getting ready to get in their cars and warming up their car. And a 16-year-old boy who had just been given from his father a sports car. I don't really remember the make of it, but a fast sports car, which is, in my opinion, a poor decision to make, to give a 16-year-old a car that can go faster than most people can safely drive, even with the years of experience. But anyway, he had decided to race his buddy in this freezing rain. And he took off, and he was doing about 100 miles an hour. And he lost control in the ice and went up all over the curb by the church parking lot, hit a fire hydrant, and went airborne. The people standing in the parking lot, the car actually went over the top of their head, and they said it was an eerie sight. It reminded them almost like a UFO going over. And the car hit in front of our church. We had a tree, pretty good sized tree. And if you can imagine, and just kind of get a picture of it in your mind, the roof of the car hit the tree with such force that it bent the car completely around the tree, almost like a giant hand holding onto it. And the rear end and the engine compartment were almost touching. It hit with such force. The transmission was completely came out of the car, was up in the church front lawn, and the engine had come out, and it was laying out in a four-lane highway. And
wow.
Somebody came running to our office and screamed, Pastor, there's been a horrible accident outside on the church lawn. You need to come quickly. And I instructed someone to dial 911, and we ran outside, and it just so happens that one of our members was an EMT, and so was trained in medical emergencies, mm-hmm. and she came running with me, and we went to the car to accident scene, and there was this young 16-year-old boy hanging upside down. The wires from the car were all wrapped around his legs. He was hanging upside down, and about the time we got there, he just fell to the ground. And she knelt down and I knelt down and she checked his vitals, his pulse. And she looked at me with this horribly despondent look and said, Pastor, this young man is dead. And in my mind, it just flashed before me, being a parent. And the first thing that went through my mind was, oh Lord, not at Christmas. And I thought of his parents who lived just down the road a little bit, and we'd seen this family, and this was a very nice area where the church was at, and they seemed to be a good family. And I thought of them, and I said to this EMT, this can't be. Please check him again. And she checked him again several times and said, Pastor, I am so sorry, but he is dead. He is dead. And we could hear the sirens starting to come, and it was still raining. And I turned, and the audience had started gathering of neighbors, and I turned and looked at our church people, and they were praying. And the Holy Spirit spoke to me, and he said, this was a predominantly Roman Catholic Lutheran area that really didn't embrace, not only they didn't embrace a charismatic Pentecostal belief, they really didn't embrace Protestantism at all, and in the forms of evangelicalism, I should say. And
yeah.
I turned and looked at our people, and the Holy Spirit spoke to me and very plainly said, tonight I am going to glorify my name to this community. Have the people pray and claim this boy's life in my name. Now, I got to be honest with you, this was the first time this had happened to me, and I immediately could relate to what Moses must have felt like standing at the sea and looking at it and wondering, what do I do now?
Yeah.
I've either got to step out here and believe, or, you know, Lord, you've got to come through. And so sometimes that's one of the things we have to understand. There is a risk that we feel sometimes involved, and one of the things, and I'm convinced the enemy uses this, and he uses it very well, is he convinces us to not pray like this, not decree and declare like this, because we're fearful that we will be embarrassed if something doesn't happen,
mm-hmm.
if the miraculous doesn't happen. So I gathered the people, and I said, folks, the Lord's going to honor his name to this community tonight. I want you to join hands and pray with me, and we're going to claim this boy's life in the name of Jesus. And they began to pray. We began to pray, and all the people in the community were watching us as we're waiting. We could still hear the sirens coming down the road. And I walked back over to where the EMT was sitting, and she was crying, had tears in her eyes. And I said, any change? And she said, no, Pastor, he's dead. And I felt the presence of the Holy Spirit very strongly. And I laid my hands on him and followed the instruction of the Lord. And I said, in the name of Jesus, live. And when I did, he took a breath.
Wow.
And the EMT was shocked. She was just like, someone threw ice water in her face. And she was like, taking vitals and that. And the boy opened his eyes and looked at me. And I said, son, you have been in a very, very horrific wreck. God has just spared your life. You need to surrender your life to this Lord, to Jesus. I said, do you know about Jesus? And he said, he shook his head, yes. And I said, do you want to ask Jesus to be your Lord right now? And he shook his head, yes. And I prayed a simple prayer, and he mouthed that prayer. About that time, the rescue people got there. And about 2.5 weeks later, 3 weeks, 3.5 weeks, he came in. I went to the hospital with the family and prayed with them. Didn't know him, but, and our people, by the way, stayed and made hot coffee and sandwiches for the first responders that were there, and just ministered to them and to the community and anybody who wanted something hot to drink or a sandwich to eat. And I went to the hospital, and about 3 weeks later, the boy come in on a snowy day in January, and on crutches. He had rods up his legs and back. They had to put rods in him, and he came in during service, and he announced who he was, and he said, I've just got to thank you folks for praying and believing, because Jesus has saved my life. And I praise God for that. And it was in the newspaper. There was an article. And I'll never forget, there was, we were in the grocery store probably 3 months later, and this lady came up to me and tapped me on the shoulder. It's one of the funniest things that ever happened. And she tapped me on the shoulder, and I turned around and I said, yes. She goes, and she's pointing at me with almost this fearful look, like she's looking at something that's fearful, a monster or something. She goes, you're that preacher. And I said, I am a preacher, but I don't know what you mean by that preacher. She said, you're the one, the boy died on your lawn, didn't he? I said, yes. And she said, that boy was dead, wasn't he? And I said, yes. And she said, but now he's alive, isn't he? And I said, yes. And she said, too weird, too weird, too weird, and just turned around and took a walk. I looked at my wife, Kelly, and I didn't even get to finish the story.
Oh, my. Oh, my. So this miracle, this miraculous raising of the dead, I mean, it obviously affected the community.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes.
And probably positioned your church in a place of influence that it might not have had before.
Oh, we experienced incredible growth after that. And the church ended up planting a Pakistani church off of it, and actually ended up training about 5 other ministers off of it. I mean, it just... what God did was unbelievable, and people were touched and healed, and it was just an incredible, incredible thing. But the main thing was the kingdom of God was manifest to a community steeped in religion and to a family who now have their son and were spared a horrible, horrific accident at Christmas time and loss, and because of the kingdom of God being manifest.
Yeah, well, that is so powerful, Steve. I appreciate you sharing that. And in just a moment, I'd like for you just to kind of wrap this up with it. And I know you have another testimony in our next podcast. I'm going to have you share a little more. But on this particular segment, in a moment, I'd like for you to wrap this up with just a prayer or a prophetic blessing, whatever it is you feel the Lord might lead you.
Sir.
To give for those who are listening, and but thank you so much for sharing this. And so why don't you go ahead and close this out for us.
Absolutely. Heavenly Father, even though we are talking about an incident that happened many years ago, I still feel the rush of the Holy Spirit when I relay it. I can't help but have emotion swell up inside of me. Because God, on that night, you taught me more biblical truth and theology than I had previously studied, even though I had been in Pentecost for so many years. You showed me the reality. And now, Father, there are people who are listening to this podcast, and I'm asking you in the mighty name of Jesus for a release of your spirit and your truth about the reality of the kingdom of God. And that, Father, this is not something reserved for the elite of the elite in your kingdom, but this is a commission given to your bride, to every member of your body, to your church, God. We have been deceived by the enemy, and God, we have missed it, but Lord, you are reviving your kingdom reality in our day and in our midst. And Father, I believe right now that whatever time this is being listened, there is young people, older people who are hearing this, and their spirit is stirring inside of them. And they are saying, I want to be used of God for the glory of Christ just like this. This is not for our glory, but for yours. It is to advance your kingdom in these last days, Father. And God, you told us, God, that in the last days, which began, God, so long ago at Pentecost, God, you said you would pour out your spirit upon all flesh. But as we got closer to that day, God, you would continually pour it out upon sons and daughters. And Father, I just feel like right now that there is someone listening, going to be listening to this, and I'm speaking ahead in time that there is a young lady called of God to a healing ministry. And God, they are wondering and doubting and scared. I rebuke that spirit of fear in the name of Jesus over you, young lady. And if you will commit your life completely, and not in salvation, but your life and its future and your ministry to the will of the Father and the advancement of his kingdom, you will see God demonstrate his kingdom through your life. Young lady, you are called of God. Be used of the Lord. And now, God, we bless Dr. Turpin and his precious wife, Carrie, for hosting this. And God, we just pray that as people are studying about spirit-empowered ministry, that God, you would help them realize this is the norm for the body of Christ. It is for your glory. This is not reserved for special people, but for all of God's people, for the glory of Jesus Christ. We pray all this in Jesus' name, and we give you the glory forever. Amen.
Amen, amen. Thank you so much, Pastor Steve. And I'm looking forward to you sharing with us next time the second part of this. And thank you, everyone, for joining us here for Kingdom Conversations. Mm-hmm.